If you have your Bibles, we'll turn with a very familiar verse of Scripture, Romans chapter 12. That's Romans, not Roman. Means there's more than one chapter. He was writing to a whole church in Rome of believers. Most of them probably were people he converted while they were trying to hold him prisoner. Amen. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Move on us with your love, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, what's your story? Amen. Glory. Man, I promise not to be long-winded tonight. Amen. But I will preach this sermon. I worked on it and believe God gave it to me for those that are here. This is similar to a youth service, so to speak, with pastor preaching. Amen. Since the youth pastor said he wasn't going to preach this month, I said I'd preach. Glory. I want y'all to understand something. Anytime somebody says they ain't going to preach, I'll preach. Amen. I love to preach more than I love to eat. So y'all got an idea how much I like to preach. Amen. I never forget, I was in Romania. They got me up one morning and said, hey, we got a minister's meeting. They want to meet with the evangelist prior to the meeting. I said, okay. So I met with the evangelist, and I ministered to them for about 20 minutes and had prayer with several of them. And we go into the conference, and they turned and said, you're on schedule to go after so-and-so. I said, whoa, I spoke a while ago. They said, no, you spoke back there. You got to speak out here now. So I got out there and spoke for about 15 to 20 minutes in that minister's conference. And we get to church that night, and I go to a church out in the country. It's about probably 10 or 12 kilometers outside of town. Get there at 5 o'clock. I'm the first preacher. Now, in Romania, they have two preachers. So I preach that first service. And as soon as I'm through, I walk in the back, shake the pastor's hand, jump in the taxi, and head back into town because I've got to be in town for a church service at the end of that service. And I get back to that service, and they're singing because the first preacher's through, and they're singing a few songs. And I walk in, they get through, and he turned around and said, you're on. Glory. I walked to the pulpit, and I preached the fourth sermon for the day. Amen. Had four or five people got healed. God bless. We were probably about 10, 11 o'clock getting out of church. We get back to the motel. One of them looked up and said, you not wore out yet? And I said, no. He said, good, let's go. We went over to this other church and ministered some people over there. Amen. I got back. He said, man, are you ready to go again? I said, sure. We ain't got to go to bed. Find me somewhere. I'll preach. Of course, I was doing it just to prove something. There was a doctor told me I'd never be able to preach three times in any 1 week. I preached five times in one day. Glory. Amen. But now if a doctor tells you something, I always do, you know, go along what the doctors say. I mean, for 35 years, I never preached three times a week. It was five, six, seven, eight. Glory. But I was reading through this, and it kind of come across my mind. The story of your life. If you've ever been around me much, you've heard me teach or preach, you know I like stories. Stories can be powerful. And I'm not the only one to ever use them. Jesus spoke in parables, which was nothing but stories. He told stories to get across to people those things he was thinking about, trying to help them to learn more. They can stir up emotions. They can move us to action. It's hard to beat a good story. Stories are powerful and important. And I want to spend a little time tonight talking about the story of your life Everybody has a story. Everybody's life has been somewhere, headed somewhere, had some problems, and we've all got our story. Some people dwell on certain portions of their story. Hello? Simply defined, story is the telling of a happening or a connected series of happenings. Tonight, I want to stand at the culmination of one of the junctures of our lives and realize that yesterday is never going to happen again. So whatever you were writing your story about up to yesterday is gone. You're not going back to it. You can't redo it. You can't undo it. But now we're starting a fresh chapter of life, and that is from now to forever I'm writing. Amen. And sooner or later, I'm going to find a chapter break and start another chapter. Amen. Because in our life, there are junctures that happen that restart the story, that re-anoint the story, that turn it in a different direction. And because of that, we understand the story. Amen. First of all, you need to understand every good story has three things. It's got a character, it's got a plot, and it's got a setting. Amen. First of all, the plot. The plot of the story itself, closely related to the plot, is the idea of conflict, which every story will have. Hello? So what are you talking about? It may be a difficulty faced by the character. It may be a problem that needs to be solved. It may be an adventure. It may be something the character has to overcome. But in every story, there is going to be conflict, because conflict is part of what makes that story interesting. And can I tell you, life is full of conflict. And no matter how good you are or how good you live, there are going to be times when you're going to get into a place where there's conflict in your life. And you're going to need to know that there is a God who, even in the midst of storm, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of trial, will pick you up, set you up right, turn you back in the right direction, put your feet back on the high ground, and give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. One of my greatest stories that I love in the Bible is the story of Habakkuk. Any of you ever read Habakkuk? I was at one church one time, and I walked out and I said, I'm going to preach about Habakkuk this morning. One of them said, that's a Jewish holiday. No, that's Hanukkah. Another guy said, that's right, it's a Jewish food. I don't know what he's been eating, but I've never gone to Jerusalem somewhere and asked for Habakkuk. Glory. Habakkuk was a prophet, wrote a 3-chaptered book in the Old Testament, but I've read it no time, how many hundreds of times, and every time I read it, I find something different. But it's a story of a man who goes through conflict. It starts out with him crying, trying to grasp why things ain't working. Then suddenly he finds out how bad things are gonna get, and he gets even worse off. And finally he turns around and understands the best way to handle conflict. He said, God, I'm gonna set me upon the watch, and I'm gonna stand upon that tower, and I'm gonna stand there till I hear what you've got to say, and then I'm going to come up with an answer. Can I tell you, when conflict comes in your life, and it will, you've got to learn that there is a God in heaven who will hear and will answer and will bring you out. And if you hold on to him, you've got a story that'll reach somebody. Could you say amen? Whatever we come from, conflict is precious. Therefore, each of us can expect conflict. In fact, I'm sure that before evening starts tonight, some of you had conflict on the way here. I've had people come in late talking about, oh, devil made me miss my mouth. You ever notice how we always blame him for the stuff we do? You missed your mouth. He didn't have nothing to do with it. Had to change clothes so he was late. I never forget one time I was headed to South Alabama to preach. I was preaching in a little place called Geneva, Alabama. That's plumb nearly over there almost. And you leave out of Elba area, headed down toward Geneva, and you don't pass nothing till you get to Geneva. And then when you get there, you ain't nowhere. Any of y'all from Geneva, I'll apologize to you if it makes you upset, but Geneva's not as big as Gordo, and Gordo was my home place where we went. And I had bought some tires from a little old car. The guy told me, said, you can't cut these tires. So I'm riding down the road. The time to try a man's theory is not in between Elba and Geneva. But I seen a bottle in the road, and it was going to make me have to swerve to miss it, so I just went over it. Not only did it get one tire, but two of them no-cut tires got cut at the same time. Now, I had me one spare, but I didn't have two. I stopped on the side of the road, and I took both them tires off, and I started walking down the road, and I'm figuring I'm going to walk a while. They just have to have somebody preach this morning. Dude stopped, picked me up, carried me to the service station, and the guy at the service station said, well, I can't fix these two tires, but I got a couple old tires I can put on. I said, stick them on there. He broke them down, put them on, guy carried me back to my car, helped me get them on the car. I take off. I get to church. The choir's just got through singing. And I walked in, looked at the preacher, done like that. I said, I got to wash my hands because I had black stuff still on my hands. I went in to wash my hands. And by the time I got back out, this precious lady was up. She said, well, we fixing to have a move of God. The devil tried to stop that preacher from getting here. I walked in, took the mic. I said, folks, I got to correct something. I appreciate our sister's thoughts, but the devil wasn't driving my car. I was. Hello? So the devil ain't the one made me late. I was the one run over the bottle in the middle of nowhere and cut my tire, and I'm the reason I was late. And church, I've never figured out how you're going to have a move of God because the devil got involved anyway. Come on, church. Smile. That's my story. What's yours? Glory. Amen. But the idea is conflict is going to happen. Now, there are two ways that we can look at conflict. Number one, A, there will be difficulties and problems in life. Expect them, embrace them. It's amazing how today obstacles often prepare us for tomorrow's pleasure. Glory. Church, everything I've been through made me who I am. I wouldn't take anything from my life. I've had people say, oh, I didn't want to live like that. I'm not happy about the way I live, but what I was and what I've gone through is what brought me to where I am right now, and I wouldn't take anything from my journey because my journey has brought me to where God wants me to be. Amen. And sometimes we talk about, I want to change my journey. You wouldn't be who you were. Well, if I could just go back in time. You can't go back in time. And if you could, you'd mess everything up. Glory. Amen. But now notice this. Life will not always go your way. Get used to it. I've never understood why we want to raise kids to think they can always have their way. They can get anything they want. And then we don't understand when they turn teenagers why they don't understand when we get on them and say, you can't do this. And they're going, yeah, I can. I don't have rules. I don't need rules. I got news for you, especially you young folks. Listen up real good. Rules are going to be here till you die. You don't never get old enough. There ain't some rules somewhere going to ride you. Come on, church. Well, I'm not going to live by no rules. That's somebody tell me that. I'm not going to live by no rules. But they got out, got on their own. Next thing you know, they're starving because of rules. There is a rule that said if you don't work, you don't eat. And if you ain't living with somebody furnishing the food, you're going to find out about that rule. There's just some rules out there some folks ain't found yet. Come on, church. Second, life is an adventure. Let's look at the words for a moment. Adventure is defined as an exciting and unusual experience. Bold, unusual, risky undertaking of an uncertain outcome. Man, that's life. You get up in the morning and you say, this is a day that the Lord has made, but none of us knows what's going to happen during that day. None of us knows what's going to take place. But the way we live that day is going to determine how we're going to write that chapter of our life. Is it going to be a tragedy or is it going to be a time when we close saying, great is the Lord because God has been with me in all things. And maybe we understand how Habakkuk closed his letter when he said, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silent. I want to end every chapter with, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know my God is on the throne, and I know my God's going to take care of me. Glory. There's some wonderful descriptive words in the definition. Exciting. Isn't life exciting? Glory. I see some of y'all right now saying, Some of y'all, life ain't exciting. Y'all just never do anything. Y'all heard Marty Kelly tell you, I showed up in Buell. I was an anomaly. Them kids didn't know nothing about doing something just because you wanted to. They thought you had to have a plan. I just ride up, get in the car. Let's go somewhere. Where are we going? I don't know. We're just going. Lord. Why? Because I'm not staying at home. I want to go do something. I just want to get somewhere and do something because I want life to be exciting. But then we got those others. It'll never work. We're doomed. Do you know if that's the way you feel, that's the way your life's going to be? I'd hate to know I was afraid to experience life. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I squeeze life for every bit of juice that's in it every day that I live. Hello? Well, preacher, if you're hurt, y'all seen me hurt. Glory. Amen. Long as I can move, I'm up. Come on, nod your head. Y'all remember me preaching in a wheelchair. I ain't going to stay at the house. I needed to be here. Somebody said, well, what was you trying to prove? Nothing. I just wanted my life back. And that was as close as I could get to it. And I wasn't going to let it get away from me. Why? Because there's excitement in every day that goes by. And we have to hang on to it and live it and love it. Could you say amen? Risky, uncertain. Life's all those and much more. Life can be filled with moments of excitement and joy, but life can also involve unusual. But we got to learn how to go with it. Everything's not going to make you happy. Every day you get up, you're not going to be in the greatest world. But you choose to live your life. We got too many people that sit around and complain about the little mingly life, when if they choose to, they could be happy about life. Amen. Brother T.D. Jakes was talking about a lady that he met through Twitter and Facebook. Said, it's one of the most encouraging women I ever met in my life. Said he had been communicating with her for 6 months, and she'd told him uplifting things, was sending out Twitter responses to people all over the country, lifting them up and encouraging them. And finally, one day in a conversation, he finds out the woman is blind and has been for many years. And he's like, how can you have this outlook when you're that way? And you know what she said? She said, I realized that I'm never going to see again, but I got the memories of what I once saw. And because of that, I understand what the sun looks like. I understand what it feels like. I understand things I never knew before, and I realize the precious gifts that I have other than sight that I can live by, and I choose to enjoy life just as much now as I did before I got here. And honey, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You can make a choice. I'm going to live and enjoy my life no matter what's going on, because this is my story, and I want my story to be a good one. Oh, but now listen, not only do you need to have a plot, you got to have a setting. A plot ain't worth a flip without a good setting. You can't shoot a cowboy in the middle of New York City. It just won't work. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Setting's important. Because some parts of the plot can only unfold in certain settings. Hello? My life has been built in several states and countries. If I talked about towns, it'd be hundreds. But everything in my life has been made by who I've been with what's going on in those places. Revivals preached, seeing God move, traveling, getting in all kinds of situations. Amen. They were singing that song a while ago, My God's an Awesome God, and I'll never forget walking down the back street in New York. Bad mistake. It was a Sunday morning, and I'm trying to get to a subway, and I thought I knew a shortcut. Never walked down an alley in New York. Walked down the main street, mumble to yourself, and don't look to nobody. They'll think you're one of them. Don't ever say nothing, because the minute you say something to one of them, they're going to realize you howdy doody. As you may not realize it, but everybody in this building has got a southern accent. And it don't take a person in New York but a second to realize they ain't from here. Glory. So they take for granted you got cash on you. And you then become the victim. I'm walking down a back alley. I got this sign going, mug me. I got on a suit, coat, tie, and all. And I'm headed down that back alley, and all of a sudden I look up, and here comes this dude in colors. Do y'all know what colors are? The gangs in New York wear jackets with colors on them so they know they belong to a certain gang. And I look up, and I see the MM on that jacket, and I realize this is a color from people from way back in the 60s that are still one of the most powerful gangs in New York. It's called the Mau Maus. And this dude's walking at me, and he's about 6'2". He's about 18, 19 years old. And I see him eyeballing me, and all I can think is, if I just get out of this from my drawers, I'm going to be happy. Glory. Don't look at me like that. I wanted to live. I had a Bible. Now, normally I don't have a big Bible, but I have my Thompson Chain reference. It's a little oversized. I had it in my hand that day, and I got almost to that guy, and for whatever reason, I made sure he saw it. And he looked down, and he said, "He bad, ain't he?" I said, "He sure is." Glory. He went by me. I was going that way. Amen. That's one of them exciting places, a setting that was there. Had I not been in that alley, I'd have never met that guy. Amen. And my life wouldn't have been as nice because I wouldn't have seen what could happen when somebody realized I was worried for God. Amen. But now it didn't stop there. It gets better. This big old dumb country boy goes and gets in the subway. And when you get in the subway, you got to know, are you going uptown, in town, out town, or downtown? Being a dumb old country boy, I'm not sure. I'm looking for the one going to Harlem, Eastern Harlem, because that's where I'm headed. I don't understand when they say this one doesn't go all the way through. And I jump on it and take off, and they dump me in the middle of Harlem. Y'all may not understand. Harlem is not a place you want to be unless you're a person from Harlem. I was with a Jamaican pastor one day in his car. He ran up on the curb and ran the light because he wasn't stopping in Harlem. And I'm in the subway now, and they got this guy over there talking about, "We got to kill Whitey. We got to throw him in the river." And I'm looking around thinking, I'm the only sacrifice. And here comes another gang. And this guy walks up and he pulled. I kept his coat for a long time. It was kind of a off-color green, light green jacket. He pulled it open. He said, "Ooh, I like that jacket. I believe I'm going to have me that jacket." And I'm thinking to myself, "You fit to get the jacket? Don't worry. I'm done backing that. If I can get out of here with some drawers, I'm happy. Glory." And about that time, the subway pulls back in, and a guard stepped off the subway, and they stepped away. I was on that subway and sat down, and I was all excited because I thought, I'm out of here. That subway didn't go 100 yards out of that trailer till it shut down, went pitched. They're electric. And for whatever reason, they shut the entire system down. Everything went pitch dark. I hear the doors open because they're electronic, so when the lights go out, they automatically open, and I'm sitting there in pitch dark. Can't see anything. How many of you understands in pitch dark, we're all scared? Because I can hear people moving around. I ain't sure who it is. And all I think is, them boys are coming on here to get me. And about that time, somebody sat down beside me. The lights come on, and I about lost it because it was a dude that was kind of a dark-skinned guy. He's sitting there next to me, and he ain't saying a word. And I'm sitting there, and I'm holding that Bible. All of a sudden, he pulls out a Bible. He opens it up. I can't read it. I looked at him. I said, "Sir, are you headed to church?" "Yes, brother." "What church you go to?" "I go to Emmanuel Dennis's church." I said, "I'm with you, buddy." See, I got a God of providence that stuck a man next to me to the church I'm trying to find. I ain't got to look anymore, and I ain't got to be scared anymore. At the next subway stop, we jump out, and we walk to church, and we get to church. And Brother Dennis said, "Brother Ken, did you have any trouble getting here?" I said, "You would not want to know what I went through. But you know what, church? If I'd been anywhere else, the setting wouldn't have been right for the plot. But because I was there in a place where everything's messed up, I found a God that could take care of me when everything was going down. And if I write that chapter, I put at the end of it, I know my God is able." Woo. Tonight, you're in Alabaster, Alabama, but where were you when you were born? where are you going to be this time next year? Where will you be 10 years from now? See, most of us have got ideas, but most of us ain't got a clue. My son came up telling me what he was going to be. My daughter was going to be a brain surgeon until I cut my finger one day, and then she said she wasn't going to be a surgeon. They were trying to sew my finger up. She had to leave the emergency room. Of course, if she had been a brain surgeon, that I had to put a step stool beside the bed. Alex had all kind of things he was going to be. But he always focused on the fact that he wanted to do something in medicine that didn't have to do with people. He said he'd be a veterinarian if all he had to do was deal with the animals. He's actually got a T-shirt that says, "The more I see the people, the more I want to just find the animals." Glory. And he became a biologist. Went to Shelton State, University of Alabama, became a biologist. Next thing you know, he's bought a house in McCalla, moved away. Works another few years, gets his wife he marries while he's living in McCalla through med school. Then he goes back to UAB, and finally he's graduated and realized his dream. He's now working at DCH. All of that's his story, that he can tell how God has brought him from where he was to where he's at now. That's a story he could tell people, how God blessed him, how that when he went to Shelton State, they told him there wasn't any scholarships because he was kind of late and missed the date to get in. And for whatever reason, they realigned the scholarships. Instead of by the time they came in, they went by grade point average, and he got one of the scholarships to go to school on. Could you say amen to that, church? That's the God I serve. Come on. Amen. He's got that story that he can tell. But you need to ask yourself, what is my story going to be? God said, I'm asking you to present yourself, your life, as a living sacrifice for me. Will God be pleased with your story? I'm not going to be much longer. I want to share something with you. I went to school with some pretty good athletes. One of the men I went to school with played basketball in Europe for 15 years after he got out of college, and he's a millionaire. Boy, couldn't he pass a test with me helping him one night. I'm shooting him signals. They catch both of us, take us in the office. They caught us cheating, and the guy come out and said, but it can't be cheating. Stroop made 98, and he's got a 5. Coach come to me. He said, how did that happen? I said, I don't know, but thank God I can play. Glory. Amen. A, B, C, D, none of the above. He got them backwards. But he could play basketball. And I'll never forget, I was in town in Tuscaloosa. It's been several years ago. And I ran into his son, who in himself is a great athlete. And I'm sitting there talking to him. I said, man, what are you going to do when you get out of school? He said, well, I've got several schools talking about scholarships. I've got a chance I'm going to be able to get a full ride. He said, they're all talking about me playing shooting guard or point guard. And he said, it doesn't matter as long as I can play. He said, man, get me an education. I said, man, that's awesome. I said, what's your grade average? He said, I've kept my grades up because Dad told me I couldn't get a scholarship unless I did, so I've got to be average, so I'm not going to have a problem getting in school. I said, that's awesome. So what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go to school, going to play basketball, hopefully make it to the NBA one day. I said, that's great. What are you going to do then? He said, well, I'm probably going to retire, come back to Tuscaloosa, and I may go to law school. I said, oh, man, that's great. I said, what are you going to do after that? He said, well, I'll probably get married. I said, you're going to wait that long? He said, well, I want to get the right one. I'm like, it'd be like the guy's mama told him at 40. He said, son, you too picky. He said, not me. They're the ones that's picky. Glory. Hello. I said, what are you going to do after that? He said, well, probably buy a place down in Florida close to where mom and dad's is so I have a place to go during the winter to vacation. And he said, then I'm going to have 2 or 3 kids. And I said, what are you going to do after that? He said, well, I guess I'll retire and move to Florida. I said, what are you going to do after that? He says, I'm probably going to die. What are you after? I said, well, what are you going to do after that? He said, what? I said, well, you sat here and mapped out a whole life what you were going to do. But you've not mapped out what's going to happen when the story in this world ends. What are you going to do when you die? I said, because you do realize before you ever play a game of basketball, you could die. Before you ever find that woman or get through law school or have those children or retire, you could die. And I said, so that is something you need to make plans for now. He looked at me and said, Dad said you was a preacher now. Glory. I said, son, it's all about your future. See, a story is only as good as its ending. Ain't it horrible to be watching something on TV and get right to the end of the story and it be a thick plot and you can't figure out what's going on and the TV go dead and you can't figure it out? Or like I one time in a preacher's office was reading a book and I got right down to the last and realized somebody took out the last three chapters and they weren't there. And I've lived the rest of my life trying to figure out how that came out. Can you imagine what it's going to be like if you don't work on the end of your story? A good lawyer never writes a closing statement after everybody testifies. He writes his closing statement before the court case ever goes to trial. He may tweak it, but the story's finished before it's ever started. And some of you tonight are writing your life story. Some of you may have a great story one day to tell. None of us knows what's going to happen in our lives. In high school, if you'd told me I'd be where I was at doing what I was doing, I would have laughed at you, and I know everybody I went to school would have. When people I went to school with find out what I do for a living, they just look at me and go, are you joking? I remember seeing my principal one day, told him I was a preacher, and he said, huh? The assistant principal came to a camp meeting. I was preaching in Pickens County one time, and he was playing a piano for a singing group. And the guy in charge of the camp meeting asked him, said, do you know this guy? He turned around. He said, stand up, son. I stood up. He said, turn around. I turned and said, bend over and grab that chair. And I bent over. He said, yeah, that's him. And the guy said, what's that supposed to mean? He said, well, about every afternoon he came by the office, bent over a chair, and I hit him two or three times, and he left. Glory. Well, the deal I cut, 3 licks or 3 days, not always take the 3 licks. He said, when I walked in and saw who your night speaker was, he said, I got to admit, I'm intrigued. When church was over, he walked up, and he said, son, I would have never believed you would be here doing what you did tonight. But he said, there is a God who can change people's lives. And I want to tell you tonight, every one of us is writing a story. But we need to start working on the ending, because none of us knows when that ending's coming. Amen. Just so you'll know the whole story, that young man who had his life mapped out in front of him, his senior year in high school, something physically went wrong with him. He ended up in the hospital at Children's Hospital in Memphis, and he stayed there for months and months and months. When he finally got out of school, he realized that his body was so deformed and messed up from whatever happened to him that his future in sports would never happen. His father, having money, put him through school. He is a lawyer now, but he walks with a limp and one of his hands is torn. And he never got the first part of his dream, but he's still writing his story. But if you see him now, he'll tell you, if I die, I know in whom I have believed. And he's got the ending ready to be written. And I believe tonight God is talking to some of you. Some of you have a story. You're out in the middle of maybe one of the greatest plots of your book. But you need to understand the greatest plot's going to be when the time comes for you to stand before God and figure out the end of my story. What's it going to be? Would you stand with me all over the house? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. Father, you said it is not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, have your way. In short, you need to pay attention to your story, the plot, the setting, the character, but most of all, the clothes. Feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. Only you can let it in. No one else, no one else can speak the words on your lips. Drench yourself in words unspoken. Live your life with arms wide open. Today is where your book begins. The rest is still unwritten. Write well.